We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Out and Emmanuel Sanders was in, things looked okay. In fact, they looked pretty good.
For a quarter.
I know. It's all small sample size.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, when Jimmy Garoppolo, first of all, when he first came and there weren't many receiving options to speak of. Marquise Goodwin was his best option. Yeah. He looked pretty darn good.
Lewis Murphy.
He looked pretty darn good.
Yes.
This year, when Kittle and Sanders were on the field for one game, he looked really good.
It's the best we've ever seen him.
Yes.
It's the best we've ever seen him.
And then Kittle was gone. Not quite as good, but for a quarter, pretty good against Seattle. And then when Sanders went out, it went basically into the toilet. And I'm would say the same thing about Alex Smith. It's not that Smith depended on Vernon Davis or Garoppolo depends specifically on Kittle or Sanders, although they're both very good. Kittle really, truly is incredible. It's that the drop-off when you lose those guys is so yes. extreme that it's just too much to ask a quarterback of Jimmy's experience and ability to overcome those losses.
Well, isn't the end game, Ray? Isn't the end game? You got to have everybody humming for the playoffs, whether that's in the wild card round, divisional round. Like, the worst thing they could do is be short-sighted and play the guy to where he gets hurt, and now he's out for the entire year, which is what you were insinuating at the beginning.
No, this is about his entire career.
Yeah, because
you're taking that much of a long view on it?
Well,
when you have a player of this caliber.
With an injury of this sort, with a knee.
Yes.
I feel like he'll be okay next year.
Well, you have no idea, and neither do I, and neither does Kolsky.
That's right.
And neither does Albie, as smart as he is.
My
Albie point is
knows.
There are players on each team, or at least on each team that isn't the Jets, that you have to mind as important to your long-term as well as short-term future. And rushing him back, hypothetically, for New Orleans, at the risk of his shorter term, but long term health, at least for the end of this season. And beyond that, not only does him a disservice, as a cynical matter, it takes away your best player, perhaps for the rest of his career.
Hurts the team, right?
So you have to take that view. You don't, this idea that next man up is somehow charming, it's nonsense. For some guys, it isn't next man up, it's let us know when you're ready.
So what you're saying is take your time on Kittle, force Emmanuel Sanders back into action.
No, I don't know. I don't – maybe – well, he's a short timer.
That's right.
So if we want to play the cynical argument, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
But like I said, Kittle is one of those exceptional guys that you really aren't going to replace anytime soon, either through the draft or through free agency, which means you take greater care of him than you do everybody
else. That's a key point because if something happens to Kittle on Sunday where you lose him forever, it's a disaster for your franchise. If something happens to Emmanuel Sanders on Sunday where you lose him forever, you'll replace him eventually.
Yeah, but
I hate the sound of that, too.
It's awful.
Because there's a level of cynicism in that that reminds me why I hate football.
Because it's so violent.
That's
how
the
game is. Nothing's guaranteed. Well, and I also think, like, to Ray's point about the injury severity and what exactly, if this is a bone bruise, it's one thing. If this is a sprain that could lead to a tear, that's a completely other thing.
You're right.
And that's where we don't know. So the severity of the injury, the type of injury, you know, what kind of ankle is it? Is it calf? Is it ankle? Like, those things matter to me.
Do you make anything of the weird sort of semantics over whether he's been declared out or not yesterday?
The Niners have been weird with injuries all year, though, haven't they?
Yeah, but that was especially weird. At first, they're not saying anything, and then I think Mayoko said they forgot to ask him about Kittle during their conference call, and then the Arizona reporters asked, and Shanahan said he wasn't going to be available, but then he tried to clarify, I guess, later and say he was just trying to say that they had to be prepared in case he wasn't available, but that they still hadn't answered the question. I mean, I think he's still technically questionable now, but was that shenanigans or just a couple misspeaks?
You mean Shanahanigans.
Oh, well played.
Ooh, I like that.
I think
that's a Marconi.
He might have been He might have just been tongue-tied, but I also think it speaks to something that's happening across sports, which is to be as vague as possible within the rules about all injuries. Hockey solved that problem decades ago.
Why do you think it took everyone else so long?
Well, Pat Quinn invented upper body, lower body.
Gambling, though. Isn't it gambling, Ray?
Well, no, they've wanted more specificity in injury reports, but there, since there's no punishment attached to it, it doesn't matter. I mean, you could just say, you know, Tom Brady, questionable unicorn wound.
But he's been on the injury list for like 7 years, Tom Brady specifically.
Actually, I think they just took him off, but he's the one guy where I would not doubt unicorn wound.
Yeah, I mean, my point is that you see it in the Warriors all the time. So-and-so will be reevaluated at X time. He'll be out for 6 weeks. And I think the Durant injury taught them a semantic lesson about how not to get caught with your own words. So I think from here on in all sports, on every team, they will be as vague as possible while pretending to adhere to the letter of the rule of that league, if not the spirit.
Well, I know that the specifics of, you know, questionable, doubtful, probable, that is all for gambling. That is to be as accurate as possible and as upfront as possible because, the NFL wants to get in bed with gambling. I think, can we all admit that, right?
Well, yeah, but this way predates their desire to get in bed with gambling.
Yeah, but they've been very specific about it.
No, lately.
Yes.
But before this, they had questionable, doubtful.
I agree, yes.
And the reason why they used that was because the bookmakers in Las Vegas reached out to them and said, hey, if you guys aren't at least slightly more transparent with injuries, the chances of games getting fixed will be that much greater. You should do this for your own good as well as ours.
Yeah.
And the NFL sort of heeded that with a nod and a wink. But coaches objected to that. So now I think they're trying to be vaguer while pretending not to be vague.
And wouldn't you also agree, Matt, they're never going to be, like, even if Kittle comes back, he'll be 90% or 91% or something. He'll never be 100%. No one is. It's the NFL.
That's where we're at. But also, I still think I'm fully with Ray on the part about this is a special player and you don't play games with it, which I think brings up a question a couple texters have sent in. But before we do that, we have to say hello to 4 o'clock.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
I don't know if I was feeling it as much yesterday, but it's come back around on me today.
Put that in the Hall of Fame.
It's fantastic. We will take your calls on the Niners as well if you want to jump in, 888-957-9570. Also, a texter said he ripped you a lot yesterday, Butch, but he's liking you better today, so you're growing on the people.
The hate line usually is all over the place. There's a wide variance. I'm like the Jimmy Garoppolo of the text line.
It's true. You're very polarizing on the text line.
One week, it's 4 touchdowns, 300 yards. And next week, you know, everybody wants to treat me like a pinata.
So one of the people who asked this question on the text line is Wonderful Niner, who I had the great pleasure of meeting on Monday. I think that was Monday. I can't keep my days straight, but really nice to meet the Wonderful Niner. It was Monday. And his question, which a few people have put forward, is when Kittle got initially injured in Arizona, why did they or the trainer even let him try to go back in that game? Because given what we're now seeing, sure feels like discretion should have been the better part of valor as soon as he got hurt.
I don't think they knew, because you can't really do that with sight right at the moment.
Without an MRI.
How bad it is.
And adrenaline's pumping, right? Guys want to go back in.
Well, it's not adrenaline pumping. I mean, the idea players always want to go back in. Well, shut up. You're not the adult here.
Yeah, but the coaches want to win.
We have a guy with an MD at the end of his name.
Right.
They decide.
Who works for the team?
Well, it works for the team, but the point is the player is the last one to get a say.
Well, if you're as great as Kittle.
Point. No, I don't care how great he is. I don't care. You're not.
Well, here's what we can say. If the doctor had said he's not safe to go, they wouldn't have put him back out there.
No, what I wanted to say in addition to that is if you take him in for an MRI, you are essentially saying, we think it's bad enough that we're going to start going to outside information. Because usually if a guy gets hurt and goes back in the game, they haven't taken him in to give him the full once over. I think once you take him in, you have a better sense that he shouldn't play anymore. I think they thought he might be able to go. And sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong, because in football, injuries tend to get worse, not better.
Agreed. And we've seen this happen before. This is nothing new. I remember Jerry Rice coming off the torn ACL the year he tore it, first game of the year against Tampa Bay. And then he came back, I think it was week 12, week 13, caught a touchdown pass in the end zone and re-tore it. Remember that one, Ray?
Yeah.
We don't have to go that far back to think Jerry about Rice. People who may have come back too early from an injury and ended up with a worse injury.
Oh, there's plenty of them. Where are you going with this?
I don't know.
Durant, maybe?
I don't think I'm going anywhere. I'm just saying we don't have to go as far back as Jerry Rice.
No, you were, say the words.
Yeah.
It's safe today.
Of course. That's what we're talking about. It doesn't matter that Ray and you and I all believe Kevin Durant took his own health in his own hands. They did everything they could to be safe medically. It doesn't matter. There's still the optics.
And even then, there's no guarantee that the one led to the other.
No, we don't know.
There's nitwits like us who want to play doctor on the fly and say, well, A plus B must equal C because I watched it on TV and that's where I got my medical license. These might be two separate and distinct injuries that had very little to do with each other. And I'm going to defer to a doctor before I'm going to sit there and make up a diagnosis, except when it involves leprosy, because I can spot that.
We did actually have someone send us an article. Apparently leprosy is on the rise in Los Angeles County, which is pretty disturbing. Pretty disturbing. Let's go to Jesse in Millbrae for some Niner Jesse thoughts. You want to weigh in on the Niners? Not Jesse's girl in Millbrae, Jesse.
Oh, Jess.
In Millbrae. If you want to weigh in, 888-957-9570. What's up, Jesse?
Yo, what's going on, fellas? Good discussion. I just wanted to comment on one thing you guys were saying, you know. So Kittle's out now and Emmanuel Sanders is out now.
We don't know that, just to be clear, Jesse. They're both day-to-day as of now. We're just worried they might be out.
Okay, well, anyways, barring, you know, they're not playing, let's just assume that.
Okay.
You know, doesn't this come down to Kyle Shanahan now? This is going to be his finest hour to scheme up the team. Because, I mean, I kind of want to see something like Seattle was doing last week, how they were moving the pocket against our line with a lot of misdirections and rollouts and stuff like that. So, you know, I just kind of want to see that from our team. But do you think that's something that's possible?
Or let me ask you this, Jesse. Last week, well, a few days ago on Monday, did you feel like Shanahan's scheme was sufficient when nine times a wide receiver was open and dropped the football?
Oh, well, you know, I can't say that the receivers didn't have something to do with that.
Right.
For sure.
So that's
right.
My only
also
problem.
Too.
You're right, Jesse. And not to cut you off, but you're right. The scheme, yeah. You're not the only person who watched Monday and thought the scheme could have been better. I know Joe felt that way.
Which doesn't mean that it was a deficient game plan.
No.
Or that it was, you know.
You said more creativity would have been nice.
A couple. Like, when I watch a Shanahan game, even when they had Nick Mullins and even when they had C.J. Beathard, there would be two plays a quarter where I go, wow,
uh-huh.
And something would be wide open. Now, that being said, you were playing a team with a Hall of Fame coach, you know, with a bunch
defensive
of great
coach.
Defensive players,
yeah.
And Bobby Wagner, who's going to the Hall of Fame, maybe the greatest defensive player in Seattle history. So you have to give them credit as well. But I did think that the scheme was fine. I just expected a little more. I thought he had a little more pizzazz
totally.
With 10 days off.
And I think I expect a man, I don't know, but it makes more sense to see more of the out-of-the-box creativity when you have less available talent.
Agreed.
That was going to be my point, which is you're only as creative as the tools you have.
The ball players that are out there.
Well, yeah. I mean, you cannot run a flea flicker if none of your players have hands.
Yeah, and that's the other part of this, is he can be as creative as he wants. Ultimately, if he runs the best possible play and the open receiver drops the ball or the quarterback with time throws it at the receiver's feet, I don't know what Kyle Shanahan can do about that. And those things seem more likely without Kittle and Sanders.
His job isn't to be creative. His job is to win the game.
You're right.
He was not creative at all in Washington because
that's
you weren't supposed to be. You're supposed to end up with more points than the other guy.
That is the goal.
When Walsh would lose to Bill Parcells back in the day, and it would be like that 9-6 Monday nighter or something like that, was there mass hysteria about scheme and game plan and guys getting open and dropping balls? Was it like the way it is now?
Oh, it's not as frantic because there aren't as many people who get to vent their half-witted opinions. But at the time, there was, you know, it wasn't hysteria, but it was how do you figure out how to beat that defense? It wasn't, How did Walsh become an uncreative lout? You know, it just it's
well, because we have to talk about everything in extreme terms now.
Well, that's because we are this close to planetary extinction, which I am in favor of, by the way. It just everything must have a villain. And what happened Monday night to my eye was that the villain was Seattle was better.
Exactly.
And you just get to eat that one. And if you don't like the answer, it's still the answer.
And I thought that Jimmy played okay, but not one of his best games. And I think there's a bunch of throws he would want back and a bunch of throws that receivers dropped. Like, it's a combination of things. It's
absolutely
not one thing or the other. I mean, Steph Curry doesn't have great shooting nights every night. You know,
he doesn't have any now.
No. Well, and I guess this is if we're going to use the Steph Curry analogy, this is why I think I was more inclined to not give Jimmy a pass, but to say this is Jimmy, right? And that I think that's a distinction that maybe I didn't convey that well on Tuesday. It's not that I think Jimmy G was perfect. He threw a lot of fluttering ducks. He threw a couple balls high. He threw at least one ball 6 yards short.
Yes, at an ankle.
But none of those are part of the 9 drops in the game. And the point I was trying to make is not that Jimmy was perfect, but that Jimmy was Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Almost every game, he's going to flutter some balls. He's going to miss some targets. He's also going to make a lot of good plays if what we've seen over the course of time is an accurate representation. It becomes harder for him to make to do the good parts of that roller coaster when he doesn't have the good pieces around him.
Yeah.
And so what I was saying was not, Jimmy did great, leave him alone. What I was saying is, Jimmy did what Jimmy does, and if receiver play had been competent, it would have been enough. And that, to me, is different than... I mean, the other option is, do you think he's ever going to progress to a point where he can overcome that sort of deficit? And I'm just not sure he will.
Well, guys get better and worse
over
time.
That's just my opinion.
And
I have no idea.
Some way more than others, right? I mean,
yes.
Like, who would have foreseen Rich Gannon getting that much better at that point in his career?
Very true.
Right? And we've seen other guys like RG3 fall off. I think, to Ray's point, this is something that I'm curious on, because I think there's two wide variances here. There's one side of the spectrum where you throw RG3 out there with the messed up knee, and then he's ruined and he's never the same, not just because of his confidence, but physically he's not the same.
That's right.
And then there's the other side of it where you protect Strasburg and you do not let him pitch because you don't want him to waste any of his bullets. And then 7 years later, you're seeing the fruits of that, right? Like, what's the happy medium, and how do you determine how long of a view you should take on this?
That's why this stuff is really hard.
Strasburg's decision was not Washington's. It was Scott Boras's. They had agreed to that in advance. So that was a contractual issue. And Scott Boras was the guy who said, he's only pitching this many innings.
But it was...
Period.
But they did sign up for it.
No, they did sign up for it, but it was not at their instigation.
Fair enough.
And when they came to the realization that they'd like him for more, Boras held them to their agreement. So... that's not an equivalent comparison point.
So we'll stick with this Niner stuff coming up. We also read an interesting article about the quarterback carousel we're likely to see this offseason. And I submit to everyone, if we're going to say, and I haven't said this, I'm not sure anyone here has, but certainly people in the Niner fan community have said they are unsatisfied with Jimmy Garoppolo, I think maybe it's worth having some conversation about what your other options might be if you truly find yourself unsatisfied with this guy. We'll get into that next, sponsored by the Golden State Warriors. The Boston Celtics are coming to Chase Center tomorrow night. All fans will receive a splash towel presented by State Farm. The first 10,000 fans will receive an authentic Fan Friday cheer card. Get your tickets at warriors.com, and I'll see you at Chase Center.
So I wasn't on a diet. I was on a system. A system of nutrition that allowed me to turn my body into a fat-burning machine by making the right choices in portion control and what I was eating. The system that I used was Nutrisystem. What do you know? Nutrisystem for men really helped me. Fellas, I think it can help you too. If you're looking to fit some weight loss goals into your life, use Nutrisystem to do it. Find your motivation and find the right plan for you. Go to Nutrisystem.com/men right now and click on the radio icon in the top right-hand corner of the page. Use promo code GAME. You'll get $50 off plus a week of protein pack shakes free. Don't put it off any longer, fellas. 18 pounds, 8 inches overall, guaranteed to be lost in the first month or your money back. Fellas, go to Nutrisystem.com/men right now. Use promo code GAME to get started. Results vary. Offer restrictions apply. See website for details.
All right, team, huddle up. The entire season comes down to this moment. Here's the play.
Let's shoot the double wing offense. Get the bootleg snap pass. Double block. Double on the nickel and dime defense. Pitch up the ball. Try to the middle. Spin to the screen pass to Jones in the end zone. Remember, good is the enemy of great. Play hard. Never quit.
Now, let's get out there and bring this thing home.
Never miss an important play, on the field or in your business. With Dialpad, the first modern business phone system, you get playbooks for call prep, live coaching, transcription, and analytics on any device, anywhere. All you need to get the W is Dialpad. Visit Dialpad.com to learn more.
What's your smart and final for Thanksgiving?
Well, I have a big family, so I need all the food.
For gatherings big and small, we've got it all. Like bone-in chicken half breasts or leg quarters for 88 cents a pound, limit four. So, what's your smart and final?
When it comes to health coverage, it helps to have someone in your corner. That's why there's Covered California. We're a free service that offers support and resources to help more Californians get quality, affordable health coverage. How do we do that? By carefully selecting private health insurance companies to offer you the best combination of quality, rates, and benefits. And Covered California is the only place you can get financial help to make coverage more affordable. New this year, almost a million people could get additional financial help to lower the cost of their plan. That means more money for those already receiving assistance and new help for those who may not have qualified in the past. Many people will see lower costs, so don't wait. Check and see how much you could save. It only takes 5 minutes. Have questions or want to enroll? Visit coveredca.com, call us, or meet with an expert in your area. Covered California. It's life care. To be covered by January 1st, enroll by December 15th.
The Black Keys are back. November 20th, all new Chase Center in San Francisco. The Black Keys, Let's Rock Tour. With special guest, Modest Mouse. Tickets are on sale now at LiveNation.com. The Black Keys return.
You're in charge of hiring, and Indeed has solutions, like online skills tests, which let a candidate show that they're the right hire. And we give you this toy monkey, which will bang its cymbals when the right resume appears. Okay, there is no monkey.
I said there is no monkey!
But skills tests, that's a for sure.
See why independent research by Silk Road shows Indeed delivers 3 times more hires than any other job site. Visit Indeed.com/promo today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply.
Here's Tony Romo for Skechers Slip-On Footwear.
Now that I've hung up the cleats, I like to wear a more comfortable shoe. In fact, I like to wear the most comfortable shoe, Skechers Slip-Ons. Skechers Slip-Ons are simply the best. For one thing, there's no laces, so they just slip right on. Then there's the Skechers Air-Cooled Memory Foam. It cradles your feet and provides unbelievable comfort that lasts all day long. Skechers Slip-Ons are the most comfortable, easy-to-wear shoes I've ever worn.
Try Skechers Slip-Ons with Air-Cooled Memory Foam today. Skechers, comfort included.
Join the Black Hole and 957 The Game at Everett and Jones Barbecue and Sports Lounge in Jack London Square for our pre- and post-game live broadcast every game day. Cheer on the Raiders and enjoy the best barbecue in the Bay. For more info, visit the events page at 957thegame.com.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
We are back. Matt Kolsky and Ray Ratto remaining here. Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy, in for Damon, recovering from an illness. And we're talking a little 49er football. I want to get a little deeper into the QB situation in just a second, but let's hit the phones again real quick for Trey in Vallejo. He's been waiting patiently. What's up, Trey?
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, Ray and the whole crew.
What up?
Matt, you said something that was very interesting, and that's what made me call up. Because you said with Kittle's being hurt, you felt like Jimmy play might drop a little bit, right? Is that what you said?
If Kittle's not there, then yes, I think that hurts Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay, so this brings me back to another point. Like when you said just now how we're evaluating him as a quarterback, but let me ask you this. Don't you think Derek Carr took more of a bigger loss when he lost Antonio Brown? Because you could say Antonio Brown's more of a big play than George Kittle's, and Derek Carr had to readjust
And I'm actually, so okay. Two things. First of all, he never really had Antonio Brown, but also I'm not 100% sure Kittle isn't just as impactful. But yeah, if your point is Derek Carr also is better with better weapons, I agree. I'm not sure what it has to do with anything.
Yeah, but Tyrell Williams, I think, is also better than, outside of Emmanuel Sanders, better than any other wide receiver for the 49ers.
For sure he is. By the way, a short 13 minutes from now, the one and only Brian Baldinger joins the program. And if you don't usually catch Baldy, if you want to learn about the game of football, this is the place to be. 4:30 on our show at Baldy NFL. If you're not following him, you are literally missing out on learning about the game of football.
Of course, if you don't want to learn about football,
aggressively avoid Brian Baldinger.
Well, no, you can listen anyway, but you'll be disappointed.
That's true. You're going to learn whether you like it or not.
Absolutely.
Quickly, this article from The Ringer today is all about how this coming off season could provide the most quarterback turnover we maybe have ever seen. And not just turnover, but turnover of names that we consider to be somewhere between halfway decent and pretty darn good. Let's put Brady to the side, because I think it's hard for any of us to imagine him playing in a different uniform.
He's not going to the Chargers.
Okay. That being said, Phillip Rivers might not be with the Chargers either. He could be available. Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota are both likely to be available. Cam Newton is expected to be available. Andy Dalton is almost certainly going to be available. It appears that either one of Gardner Minshew or Nick Foles is likely to be available. And I guess Tannehill's going to end up in Tennessee now, but unless they decide to go a totally different direction. So there's a bunch of, I don't know, what's the right word? Not proven exactly, but viable NFL quarterbacks that
dented
we know a few
junk.
Things about. There's a lot of dented junk on the market. I guess the point I'm trying to make is that's about the best quarterback free agent class you're ever going to see. Jimmy Garoppolo's contract is, it's an easy out after this year if you wanted to move on from him. So I think the point I'm trying to make here is if you're a person who watched Jimmy Garoppolo on Monday night and said, I'm unsatisfied, I don't want this guy as my quarterback, do you like any of those options better?
Run down the list again, and one by one, I'll tell you why it's fool's gold.
Philip Rivers.
900 years old.
True. Jameis Winston.
Incredibly erratic, with much better receivers than he would have here.
And a good coach.
Yep. Marcus Mariota.
Lost his job to nobody.
Oh, you be nice to Ryan Tannehill.
Ryan Tannehill had 1 foot out of the league.
He sure did, and now he took Marcus Mariota's job. Cam Newton.
There's so many injuries and dents on him, I don't know that he's worth even looking at, based on the fact that he's been beaten up.
He has. Andy Dalton, surprisingly good statistics.
For a guy who couldn't win on that team, even when they had good players. He's also got way too many miles on him. I mean, if you forced me to pick, I probably would rather have Garoppolo than Dalton at this point.
What about Teddy Bridgewater?
Didn't show enough to me to make me say he could start on Team X, because he had the benefit of playing on a team with an extraordinary defense this year. So he didn't have to be explosive, creative, you know, numbers assembling. He just had to be safe with the ball. And yeah. I don't think everybody offers you that opportunity.
And this is the point I'm trying to make. And I'd like to hear from you on this, Butch, because I know you were criticizing Jimmy, but I'm pretty sure you don't want to move on from him. So I want to hear your thoughts. But the point I'm trying to make is, if you move on from Jimmy Garoppolo, you don't get Aaron Rodgers. You don't get Drew Brees. Quite frankly, you don't even get Kyler Murray. You get a choice between a rookie, sight unseen, no idea. We have no idea how good they'll end up being. And someone who's on the open market, which we just went through the list of what's being referred to as one of the most dynamic free agent quarterback classes ever. If none of those names appeal to you more than Jimmy Garoppolo, and starting over at quarterback doesn't appeal to you more than Jimmy Garoppolo. I think we have our answer right there about who the quarterback of the future is.
Well, the quarterback of the present and hopefully the future is Jimmy Garoppolo. It's the NFL. It's not for long. There's nobody who's penciled in for multiple years. Like, if you had asked me at the beginning of this year, I'd be like, you know, Cam's probably the quarterback of Carolina for the next couple years. And then a couple of weeks later,
life comes at you
everything
fast.
Changed. Yep. You know, I mean, I thought Colin Kaepernick was going to the Hall of Fame. Chris Mortensen's out here saying he's the greatest talent to ever play quarterback in the history of the NFL. So stuff changes very quickly. But that being said, of course I'm rolling back Jimmy next year. He makes $19 million next year. That is a very, very low cap number for a quarterback that's already been paid out and a starter in the league. Now, does that mean that does this preclude me from drafting somebody in the later rounds? Absolutely not. Of course I'm going to go draft somebody. I subscribe, and Ray, I'd love your opinion on this, and Matt, yours as well. I subscribe to I draft a quarterback just about every single year somewhere in the draft. Like, you can never have enough ammunition, as I like to call it. You found money with Nick Mullins, okay? C.J. Beathard, I think we can all agree, he's not an NFL player. Come on, let's be honest.
Well, right. I mean, it depends how you mean that, but he's not someone you're going to be excited about if he has to come into the game.
Absolutely
sure.
not. Absolutely yeah. not. But I watched Bill Walsh go get Gerback, go get Steve Bono, go get Steve Young. Like, you're always searching for guys that you can try to squeeze some value.
Just look at Garoppolo's circumstance.
Absolutely.
It really didn't hurt the Pats that much. It really didn't. They basically got the same draft pick back that they used to take him. Like, here's what doesn't hurt. Drafting a pretty good quarterback who ends up stuck as your backup, and then you have to trade him for a second round draft pick later.
Kevin Cobb.
Like, that's an okay thing. So I'm with you. I think I also would commit more resources more often to the quarterback position. But also right now, it wouldn't be a top three round pick, because if I'm the Niners, I'm trying to use those first three rounds on picks that will help my team win a Super Bowl next year.
Yeah, they're not in a position where, you know, if let's say for purposes of this argument, they finish 12-4, lose in the conference final. They're still going to think, we are a Super Bowl contender. Let's get a new quarterback. They're not. That's not.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, but not only that. If all these quarterbacks are available and on the market, the other thing that it says without saying it is that the NFL doesn't like the crop of quarterbacks coming up, and that includes Tua, and that includes Justin Herbert, and, you know, Trevor Lawrence, and, you know, all of them. They've looked at them all. They can't decide which one is the knockout guy, and it looks like a bunch of Marcus Mariotas.
Or Sam Darnolds.
Well, no, I mean, somebody could turn out to be better than Sam Darnold. But Marcus Mariota was basically installed as a starter in a place that, you know, they were positioned to do some things. And because he couldn't stay healthy and because he was erratic, he never added up. I think what the issue here is, all these guys are coming free, and all they're going to do is end up on different teams.
Yep.
Bringing the same exciting problems
7-9
to new cities.
Yeah. That's why I like somebody like Gardner Minshew, where you got this guy, massive value. Everyone, the air raid offense actually now works in today's NFL, where you're spreading everyone out and you can find value late in the draft. Look at Dak Prescott. Everybody wants to tell me what Dak Prescott isn't. What he is a winning quarterback. And you could do a lot worse than Dak Prescott in the NFL.
I'm glad you brought up Dak Prescott. How did Dak Prescott look when he lost Amari Cooper?
Terrible.
So this is kind of the point. Dak Prescott's getting a ton of love the last couple weeks, and rightfully so, because he's played awesome. Kind of like Jimmy got a ton of love after he played awesome in Arizona. And I expect him to get a ton of love next time he plays awesome, too. What I think we need to be careful about as a football-watching society is assuming that it's all about the quarterback. And I know we say this a lot, but it seems pretty straightforward. Dak Prescott, with Amari Cooper, with the rest of the offense going really well, he's awesome. I mean, he's really, really good. He is clearly good enough to lead you to a title. Jimmy Garoppolo has looked, in smaller sample size, but has looked to me, with some weapons, good enough to take you where you need to go if you've got a good defense. And so on and so forth, which is what they have. The issue is Dak Prescott, Teddy Bridgewater, frankly, everyone on that list we just mentioned, there's not a single one of those dudes who can thrive in an offense without weapons or help.
Agreed. And that's why I'm sticking with Jimmy. Again, yep. I'm sticking with Jimmy, but that doesn't mean that I'm not also simultaneously trying to develop other guys on my roster.
Totally. And you want him to be better. Of course you do. You're a fan. Exactly. You want everything to be better all the time. My only point about this has been, at a certain point, I do think we have to understand you can't expect someone to be something they're not. Let's go to Larry in San Francisco for some more on Jimmy Garoppolo. What do you got, Larry?
Right. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Larry, man. I'm doing Uber right now. I got my passenger Annie in the back. I got to tell you something. You guys are really tripping about Jimmy. Jimmy's a winner, man. You know, if you give Jimmy confidence, he soars. When you start dropping, as soon as Emmanuel Sanders went out, everybody started dropping balls. That's when he fails. Let me tell you something. The difference between Jimmy and everybody else you're talking about is Jimmy's got 1 year in experience, and he's a winner. You know, I mean, who do you want? I mean,
well, right. Look, Larry, I mean, other than I'm not quite sure how you're so positive that he's a winner, I think we all pretty much agree with you. The only point we're making is he didn't play great on Monday, and in large part, that's due to what happened around him.
Yeah, he's not one of the five or six guys in the league right now who are going straight to the Hall of Fame, who are what we would call great erasers, like the Aaron Rodgers or what Drew Brees was a few years back, right, Ray?
Jimmy Garoppolo, you don't get that. You don't get the guy you're talking about.
Right.
Until you earn it.
This is who he is until further notice. And the fact that this is San Francisco means that the quarterback is always exalted, oftentimes well beyond his capabilities. Because when you look back, everybody talks about Jeff Garcia.
He was great. He was for the Niners.
He plainly wasn't.
Are you kidding me? He went to three straight Pro Bowls.
I can get to two straight Pro Bowls because everybody who gets to a Pro Bowl says, I can't
play. It wasn't
play.
As bad then. But
he was a good quarterback. To call him great is lunacy.
Ratto, he took over. He took over the 49ers when the ownership changed and they decimated the entire roster around him. Jeff Garcia was a stud. It took years for people around here
studded.
To give him the proper love.
No, he was a good quarterback, and you stack him up against every other quarterback of the era, he still ends up good.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Great quarterbacks get mentioned as potential Hall of Famers.
Everywhere he went, he won. He went to Tampa Bay and won. He went to Cleveland and won. He went to Philadelphia and won.
Then
everywhere
your argument
he
is
went,
he should
better.
Be a Hall of Famer.
There's a lot of stops between Hall of Fame and really good.
Point of order. He lost in Cleveland and Detroit, but also I think probably was better than a lot of people gave him credit for early on, to wit, three straight seasons for the Niners. He had 28 touchdowns and 11 interceptions on average per year. So that was a pretty awesome three-year stretch. That being said, that's more or less it for Jeff Garcia.
That doesn't make him a great quarterback.
No, but you know what happened? Because I remember the reactions to Jeff Garcia around here. And what happened was people graded him on a Steve Young scale,
exactly.
Which was unfair.
Yeah.
Not to say he was great. But he was handled a little unfairly, and so as not to handle our next guest unfairly, we have to stop this conversation.
No,
Go ahead.
I'm just going to say this. He was better than he was credited for at the time, but that's not the same as being great.
So we're dicing up little minutiae?
Yeah. No, we are.
Yes, we are.
I'm with Ray on that. We don't
yes,
get to
we
call,
absolutely
we don't
are.
Get to call Jeff Garcia a great quarterback just because
just
he was better
good,
than you thought.
Not great. How dare you classify him in that
even
way?
Even very good sounds like a stretch,
dude,
especially when you do it in that voice. Brian Baldinger is on the line. Yeah, the Bears, but that's because we have crap quarterbacks my whole life, so that doesn't mean he's great. 95.7 The Game, NFL Insider, Brian Baldinger. Apologies that we were screaming about Jeff Garcia. We hate for anyone to see us in that state, especially you, Baldy. All guests appear on the Dial Pad guest line, and Baldy is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. And Brian, we've been talking a lot about Jimmy Garoppolo since the Monday night loss. Goodness gracious, I'm really going to get myself into trouble. How much of what you saw from Jimmy Monday to you was a reflection of a quarterback not ready for prime time? How much of it was a quarterback without a lot of prime time weapons around him?
Well, I mean, I think the quarterback is kind of, he needs help, you know. Their best player on the team is George Kittle.
Yep.
He didn't play. They lost their newest best receiver in Emmanuel Sanders. The other receivers that were out there, Dante Pettis, you know, you just can't drop balls. I mean, if you primetime game, the quarterback throws the ball, your job is to catch it. A lot of drops. The two tackles that got back in there looked awfully rusty. I mean, I've been watching Jadeveon Clowney play since he got to Seattle, and I haven't seen him do a whole lot, to be honest with you. That was one of the greatest performances by a defensive end I've ever seen, period. I mean, that rivals Von Miller in the Super Bowl. It rivals almost anything what we've watched from J.J. Watt, you know, when he was the best player in the league for a while. It rivals just about anything Aaron Donald does on a Sunday, for the most part. I mean, it was the most disruptive, chaotic performance I've seen. Now, that's hard to play quarterback when that freak is hanging all over you like he was most of the night. That being said, Jimmy can play better, and he's got to play better because – when you get to the postseason in the NFC this year, this sudden death tournament is going to be one of the best that we've ever seen. And that was an example on Monday night of where it's at. And you're only going to get, you know, sudden death. You're only going to get one shot. So regardless of who's in, who's out, you know, the quarterback should always look in the mirror at himself first before anything else is said.
With the fact that we're now heading into December where the weather is going to get worse and passing games tend to deteriorate in the wind, the 49ers have not been nearly as efficient running the ball as they have been, probably because teams are scheming them that way. How do they get that repaired in time for the December push?
Well, I mean, the teams that they're going to play, I mean, they're not going to be the Cincinnati Bengals. You're not going to run for 250 yards. But you got to be efficient. You know, you got to get 4 yards on first down. You got to be able to pick up short yardage runs. I think a big part, to be honest with you, is getting, you know, Juszczyk back and getting McGlinchey and Wilson Staley's out. But, I mean, you got to get the guys in there. You know, George Kittle is as good a blocking tight end. I don't want to throw all kinds of superlatives. But he's as good a blocking tight end as there is, and there just simply is a drop-off when he's not in there. And so if you're asking a backup tight end, Dwelly, or you know anybody else, to go block some of these guys, I mean, you might be asking them to do more than they can do just simply because they're the backup. I mean, there's one George Kittle that can handle the end of the line of scrimmage and make everybody else better, and they need George back in there. But that would be a start, getting Juszczyk back in there, getting in the flow of things, that would be part of it. You know, and then look, they're big inside there in Seattle, but everybody's going to be big and strong in this postseason. If you look at, I don't know, if the Carolina Panthers get there, that's who they are inside. If you look at the Minnesota Vikings, that's who they are inside. I mean, you got to move big bodies, and you can't finesse your way through a lot of this stuff. So I think some of it is they got to get better, they got to get more physical, and then some of it they got to get some of their people back and get in the flow.
You know, Baldy, I love watching your breakdowns because I always learn something when I'm listening to you, when I'm watching some of the videos that you put out there. And I'm just curious, when you broke down the Arizona game, why was it that the pass rush was so negated in that game? Was there something very specific Arizona was doing that negated their elite pass rush?
Well, I mean, you know, when you play Arizona, the ball's coming out fast. I'm doing Tampa this weekend, Tampa and the New Orleans Saints. I was talking to Bruce Arians, and he just got done playing Arizona. And he said for most of the game, they tried to just sort of keep Kyler Murray in the pocket. You know, and he's good from the pocket. But at some point, you just got to go get him. You know, it's like Russell Wilson, you just got to go get him. You can't finesse it. You can't. You just have to get these guys that can take off with the ball. You can't worry about it. You know, everybody will say, keep them in the pocket, stay in your lanes. You got to go after these guys. And you got to make a move. And sometimes you get them, and sometimes, you know, they're going to make you pay. But, you know, when you play Arizona right now, I mean, that guy is the fastest player on the field every Sunday he plays. And so that's a part of it right now.
Brian Baldinger is our guest. Follow him on Twitter at BaldyNFL for some of the best football breakdowns you can find. And, of course, he's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider. And following up on the recent game against Arizona, we talk a lot about, well, will they show anything the first time around? How does it affect the second time around? Who do you think benefits the most from a recent game? Is it offense? Is it defense? Is it just the better coach? How do you think that affects what we'll see on Sunday?
Well, it is a fast turnaround. I've seen a complete reversal before. I think what I just said, though, if I was, you know, Robert Saleh and I was coaching the defensive front, and I'm sure there was some sort of a game plan to kind of keep Kyler Murray in there, you know, he's going to be restricted by what he sees from his, you know, standpoint, from his height standpoint and all that. I never see the guy get a ball batted down. I mean, rarely do I see him get a ball batted down. His height is not a problem. In fact, it's an asset. But I would say this. Like, I would get after him. I would flat out get after him with everything you got. And if he comes out of, you know, it's like squeeze the jello sometimes. If he comes out of an opening and takes off, he just does. But I know this. If you just sort of mush rush him and try to keep him in the pocket, you're wasting your time. Because that guy, he's too instinctive. He's too quick. And when he feels pressure, he doesn't have to see it. He feels it. So I would say that'd be part of it. And I would get my hands up as much as possible and try to obstruct the view. I don't know if he's going to get past his block, but, you know, just make it more difficult for him to throw it. He's fearless when he throws it now. And these young receivers are getting better. I mean, the last time they played Andy Isabella, we just kind of get started, but he had a breakout game last week. He's got world-class speed. He was the fastest player in the country, the 60-meter dash in the state of Ohio in the country. He can flat out fly. And Keyshawn Johnson's getting better. I watched Larry Fitzgerald make circus catches every week. They're an improving football team, and we saw it a couple weeks ago when they played, two Thursday nights ago, I guess it was. But I would say do not think that this team, because of the record or because you just played them, is not scary or not getting better. This team is an improving football team all the way around. You saw it from Kenyon Drake. Right away, they've got a lot of talented players, and they got guys on defense. Chandler Jones leads the league in sacks right now. He had an unbelievable game. He's got 11 and a half sacks and 5 forced fumbles in 10 games. I mean, he is a handful right now for anybody. I don't care who's in there tackle.
I want to twist this a little bit just because of the news of the day, which is the Colin Kaepernick Bizarro World tryout on Saturday.
Yeah.
If you're looking at the film of that workout, and you're trying to evaluate, is this a guy I want to sign for now or for next year or for never? What is it specifically that you, as somebody who's an expert at breaking down film and knowing what you see, what are you looking for specifically?
Well, it's a good question, and I don't know what the workout's going to look like. Sometimes you can script an 80-play workout. You're usually around 70 or 80 plays. You know, if you're looking at, you know, one of these college pro days, it's usually typically a 70 or 80-play workout. And part of it is, you know, if a good coach is working it, they're going to see his conditioning. Does the ball start to drop? Does it start to fade when he starts to get tired, when he starts to move a great deal? So conditioning can affect the throw. You want to see the deep outs. You know, and can he still drive the ball? He's always had a good, strong arm. Can he still drive the ball? Is he throwing it with his legs? Is he just throwing it with his upper body? Because he was guilty of that as a quarterback in San Francisco and at Nevada. Those would be some of the things. I don't know. It seems to be kind of a mystery of who he's throwing to, but it would be good if he could throw to a guy that he has some connection to, somebody that's been working out with. He says he's been working out 5 days a week for almost 3 years. So it'd be good if he has some of the guys he's been working out with him, where he could say, okay, throw me an 18-yard comeback, 18 back to 16, and he could put it on a tee for him. Be good if he had, you know, some kind of connection. So those would be some of the things, you know, and then, you know, how's he throw it when he's going to his left? I mean, does it square his shoulders? Just some of the fundamentals of throwing a football. You'd probably, on a tape, if you went back and watched it, go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth to it. They're just looking at some of those things I just described.
Brian Baldinger, at Baldy NFL, R95.7 The Game NFL Insider. We always appreciate the time, Baldy. Thanks so much.
All right, my pleasure, guys. I hope Damien can get better, man.
Fingers crossed. I assume he will get better eventually, Baldy. If he wasn't going to get better at all, we'd have real problems.
Well, I'll send a nurse over there. I'll send a nurse with an IV bag and you know, some extra dosage of vitamin C, whatever else, whatever it takes right now.
We're treating him like Kittle. You know, we're waiting for the playoffs.
That's right. We want to make sure he's 100%. That's all. That's
in a glass booth.
Exactly. He's well protected right now. No worries.
All right. Good enough.
That is Brian Baldinger, ladies and gentlemen. We'll come back and keep the football train rolling. You heard what he had to say about Garoppolo. I couldn't agree more strongly with him. Even if you don't love it, there's not a better option right now, and there's every reason to believe the brightest parts of the future are still to come, much like the brightest parts of this program. We got our 5 o'clock hour right around the corner. We'll take your calls and keep talking Niners. 888-957-9570 is the phone number. Matt Kolsky, Ray Ratto, Joe the Butcher Boy, Shasky on 95.7 The Game, presented by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Chestnuts roasting on an open chemical process of combustion. Jack Frost nipping at your proboscis.
Tis the season for science. Opens November 22nd at the California Academy of Sciences. Celebrate with live reindeer and more. Buy ahead and save up to $7 per ticket at calacademy.org. We wish you a merry holiday.
And a happy new punch and for the earth to revolve around the sun.
Move over, Raleigh Fingers, because 95.7 The Game personalities are growing mustaches to raise funds for Movember in partnership with Trubeck Construction. We're asking you to go to 95.7 The Game's contest page and cast your vote for the most valuable mustache. It's mine. It's my mustache. Matt Kolsky, vote for me. Make sure, because really what's important is not that I win the mustache growing contest, although that is very important. The important thing is that you donate to this great cause. Personally, I'm going for sort of a... I don't know. It's like a Raleigh Fingers. I'm going to twist it up within the beard. You're going to see it. I'm making a video tomorrow. Check the website, for God's sakes. The Movember Foundation raises funds to deliver innovative breakthrough research and support programs that enable men to live happier, healthier, and longer lives. Trubeck Construction looks for ways to disrupt the ordinary. It's never status quo on their job sites. Working with game-changing companies in the fields of life science, healthcare, and technology, it only made sense for Trubeck Construction to partner with the Movember Foundation, who's helping fund game-changing men's health projects. The men at Trubeck are also growing mustaches to join the movement for men's health, so what are you waiting for? Go to 95.7 The Game's contest page. Vote for me, Matt Kolsky, as 95.7's most valuable mustache. And get this, you'll be entered for a chance to arm wrestle our very own Lorenzo Neal. Vote and donate today.
It's knowing your maternity journey doesn't end with birth. It's a thousand things, big and small. Sutter Health. Learn more about the extensive maternity care services at our network of hospitals. Visit SutterHealth.org during open enrollment.
Celebrate amazing savings at your local Sprint store. Now through Sunday, November 17th, when you switch to Sprint, you can pick up the new iPad Gen 7, featuring an amazing 10.2-inch Retina display and smart keyboard on us when you add a new line on a qualifying plan. That's right, get an iPad Gen 7 on us when you add a new line at Sprint. All you need is approved credit. Plus, when you switch, you'll get $100 via prepaid MasterCard for each new phone you lease. The more lines you switch, the more savings you'll get. There's never been a better time to switch to Sprint. Get a network built for unlimited. Hurry into your local Sprint store now through Sunday, November 17th to learn more and check out other great deals. $100 card requires port online registration at Sprint.com/offers and 60 days of service on a new line before card ships. Card terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Member FDIC. iPad 7 Gen 32GB, $0 per month after 1917 monthly credit for 24 months credit. Apply within 2 bills. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Tax due at sale. Subject to credit and $30 activation fee.
Janitors, psychologists, security guards, nurses, housekeepers, pharmacists, educators, administrators, physicians, patient advocates, quality improvement coordinators. At Kaiser Permanente, the heart of the operation isn't an operation at all. Together, over 200,000 essential medical and non-medical professionals make it possible for all of us to live long and thrive.
You know when you gotta be somewhere, it's like really urgent? You don't want to do it over the phone. Some things just can't be said with an LOL or an OMG. Some things just need to be done IRL. So you get in your Nissan Altima and drive. Feel the VC turbo engine instantly react to give you more power and efficiency so you can get where you need to go.
Eric, what are you doing here?
like.
Huh?
Your social post. I liked it.
Oh, thank you. You know, there's a button for that, right?
I do.
The Nissan Altima, now offering the most tech-advanced engine in its class. This is tech that helps you be there. This is Nissan Intelligent Mobility. Auto Pacific Segmentation, 2020 Altima Platinum versus latest in-market competitors in the premium midsize class. Available feature. World's first production variable compression turbo engine launched by Nissan Motor Company Limited in 2018.
Time for another Action Network Flash. Tonight, Cleveland hosts Pittsburgh, and the home team is a three-point favorite. Mike Tomlin's team has covered three of its last four games against the spread. For all the betting info, download the free Action Network app today.
Hey, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Quicken Loans is celebrating our best quarter ever, and now we're celebrating some of the lowest refinancing rates ever. Rates have dropped so much that many Americans can reduce their rate. You may be able to save money on your monthly mortgage payment right now. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.18%. Call us at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.375% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Whether it's a major collision or just a scratch or a door ding, Chilton Auto Body's 11 convenient Bay Area locations are just a call or a click away. Stop in or schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutoBody.com. That's ChiltonAutoBody.com.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
We are back. Matt Kolsky, Ray Ratto, and Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky. You're talking some Niner football. 888-957-9570 is the phone number if you want to weigh in. And I think there's two fundamental questions heading into Sunday.
I want to hear these.
The first question, we've touched on both of them, but if we want to formalize this a little bit. The first question is, how worried are you about their ability to beat Arizona if George Kittle and Emmanuel Sanders are both unavailable? And the second part is, how important is this win on Sunday? Now, it's hard. I'm not going to do the must-win thing. That's ridiculous. And also, it's hard to be too up in arms about anything with an 8-1 football team. You've made it through more than half the season with one defeat. But when you look after you host Arizona on Sunday, you host the Packers, you go to the Ravens, you go to the Saints, and then after a bye week against the Falcons, you get Rams and Seahawks to end the season. And maybe it's unfair to say that's a bye week given that they just beat the Saints. So this is the last game on the schedule, almost one of two at best, that looks like, all things being equal, this should be a piece of cake for the Niners. Because of the injuries, it might not be, but let me start with you, Ray. How critical of a game is this from a one-loss perspective when you look at what comes right after it for the Niners?
I think it's more critical for them to figure out how to beat a team that they are clearly better than. And when I say clearly, I mean the difference between their defense and Arizona's offense is greater than the difference between their offense and Arizona's defense.
No doubt.
They don't get an excuse if they lose to Arizona again.
What do you mean again?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I keep thinking that because they didn't cover, they didn't win.
That's your betting.
Well, yeah, no, it absolutely is. I think this is a game that unless they're genuinely incompetent, they ought to win. Then they won't have an excuse for not winning unless you can show me a series of catastrophic injuries.
So, but Kittle Sanders is not sufficient when you say that.
Not for me, because they ought to be able to run the football against this team. And they've been doing that before. And I recognize that Arizona is going to, you know, have 15 guys in the box at any given moment. But if you are who you say you are, you win that anyway. And even if you win 9-3, and even if Chase McLaughlin is the hero, that's what you do.
That'd be good for him. I'd like to see that.
Were you impressed with Cliff Kingsbury in the first go-around? Because I kind of was. He surprised me. Did he surprise you, Ray?
No, it didn't surprise me only because that's the one thing he ought to be able to do, which is to get Kyler Murray to be as productive as possible, given the fact that they have no running game.
Not only that, but he targeted this guy before he even had the head coaching job. The part of him getting the head coaching job was, I love Kyler Murray. I can turn him into a star.
I love Kyler Murray.
So if you can at least be creative with the offensive play calling, that'd be very bad.
I mean, I think I was more impressed with Murray and their offense, given the fact that I thought the 49ers should just bottle him up.
Yeah.
Or at least make it difficult for them.
It was a weird game the first time because obviously the score made it seem like it was a really close game, but it could have swung in a couple different directions. Like, the Niners did have a 10-11-point lead late, mostly gambled on a big-time turnover. And
that was the Isabella play.
Yeah, the 88-yard touchdown. But that being said, they did get stuffed on 4th-and-1 before the end of the half. Like, that game could have swung in a couple different directions, but it didn't, you know? And so I'm going to be honest. I'm really worried about this game this weekend. I mean, we're licking our wounds after a very emotional game Monday night. You exerted tons of energy. It's a shorter week. Yeah, you've seen Arizona now one time. You have a little more time to prepare. This one feels like a trap game for me.
I was struck by something Brian Baldinger said about dealing with quarterbacks like Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson. And I understand the comparison between those two is not perfect, but the point he made is, a lot of times with these mobile, escapable quarterbacks, people talk about you got to keep them in the pocket, you got to maintain gap integrity, you got to play positionally so you don't let them escape. And he was saying he doesn't see it that way, that in fact, ultimately, you're just going to have to go after these guys.
Yes.
And the nature of the beast is, when they are that good at escaping, sometimes they will escape. But if you never hit them, they'll just stand in the pocket and pick you apart.
What was the best play on Monday night? It was the K'Wan Williams blitz that caused the giant fumble. We had no idea what he was doing handing the ball to the line.
I think it was more just a fumble that bounced into the wrong place, but it looked like he gave it to the lineman.
But you know what I'm saying? But that was created because you sent an inside slot blitz. So, yeah, I agree with that. I don't want to sit back and wet this guy. Like, late in that game, they rushed 4. And I'm like, what are you doing? At least have a spy if you're not going to send another blitzer. Have a spy. You know, Russell, in the final 2 minutes of that game, in the fourth quarter and in overtime, on third downs, was going to use his legs.
Right.
And on multiple times, and this is the part where it's really hard for a defender in today's day and age, Fred Warner was like, should I lay him out? Oh, should I not? And the next thing you know, he gets broken. His ankles get broken because he's so afraid of collecting a penalty at that spot. And Russell's just an unbelievable athlete. He gets to where he wants to on the field.
I think the danger for any really good defense is to think that you can do all things. And I don't think they can do all things. And I think Kyler Murray is one of those guys who tests your resolve. That said, if you go away from the things you do best, you're trying to win with your second best pitch.
It's a great point.
So I think I think Baldinger, who is far more knowledgeable than the three of us combined, basically said that.
Yeah.
He just said, don't be cute, be you.
And
I think defensively, that works way more often than it doesn't.
But they're not the same you. Like, they aren't the exact same team that they were even just a couple weeks ago because you don't have Kwon. So it does change things a little.
But you know what?
If Kwon Alexander makes that much of a difference and your defense wasn't as good as you thought. That's not a knock on Kwon Alexander.
I hear you. You're right.
He's not the guy who takes an average defense and makes it a great one, or vice versa.
I agree with that.
What I would say about this defense right now, and this whole team actually right now, is they're not the same team they've been any week. They seem to sustain an injury that matters on a week-to-week basis. But
absolutely,
of all the pieces and units that have dealt with injury, the strongest unit at the start of the season, the defensive line, is probably the least injured piece as well. All due respect to Ronald Blair and DJ Jones, who both came on this year and looked really good at times.
Other than the two guys who were catastrophically injured, they've been injury-free.
I didn't say they were injury-free. I said least injured, because the top 4 defensive linemen, at least, are still available.
Well, I had to say it because it was a cheap line.
You're right.
What about
the top 4, I mean, you've still got Nick Bosa, Arik Armstead, DeForest Buckner, and Dee Ford, and other guys as well. But I'm saying that's the strength.
Yes.
And it's still here. So I'm with Baldy, and what we're all saying on that point is you stay with your strength. Even if the opponent is better equipped to handle your strength than some others, you still lean into it.
I think the biggest development for this defense has been the rise of Mosley as a legitimate corner. This dude is... I think he's a ball player. I think this guy is physical. He can go up there. He was battling with DK Metcalf. He's not, I'm not saying he's Julio Jones, but DK is a problem physically.
A lot bigger than Emmanuel Mosley.
Absolutely. And not only does Mosley defend the pass really well and maintain his ground and is always in position, but he tackles really
he's
well
physical.
Underneath. I like Mosley. I think he's been like a huge, huge surprise on this defense.
Biggest surprise of the season is the secondary in general.
I'm not going to wax as euphoric as you guys are because I want to see more before I make an evaluation. And this is the kind of week where you'll find out a lot more about him than you did a week ago. Because whether he ends up with Christian Kirk or Larry Fitzgerald, he's in for a day-long lunch.
A different kind of challenge depending on who you get as well. And from what we've seen from Andy Isabella these last few weeks, he's nearly as fast as Kirk.
Christian Kirk was what I thought Michael Crabtree was going to be for the 49ers.
Oh, but Kirk's so fast.
I know,
Crabtree
but
was never that fast.
Crabtree at Texas Tech was a game breaker. I mean, he destroyed Texas. I don't think people remember. He 2-time Biletnikoff Award
but
winner.
But not as a speed guy. He did it
as a stress fracture.
As a hands guy.
He was pretty strong, man. He was
That's
pretty
what I'm
good.
He was great. I thought Crabtree was underdrafted when I was wrong, but
yeah,
I thought he was
were.
Going to be a great receiver. I'm just saying he does it. He did it at his best in a very different way than Kirk.
But he also was drafted by the wrong team.
Yes, yeah. The Raiders should have taken him.
Well, I don't know who should have taken him, but if he's going to fall to 10 and you're sitting there, well, we got to take him even though we have no idea what to do with him. Don't take him.
But they needed a receiver so bad at that time. I hear you. I hear you.
Well, but they got him, and then they couldn't figure out what to
You're
do
right.
with him, which means that they clearly had other needs.
Bit of a waste.
Well, can I ask you about Dee Ford real quick? I want to ask you guys, like, has Dee Ford been banged for the buck? Second-round pick. You gave him a ton of money. He's a situational pass rusher. Is he giving you enough bang for the buck for your liking this year?
I don't think in terms of bang for your buck. I think in terms of... Has he made your defense better? Because the money's spent, all right? Well, you could talk about, well, it's a cap sport and all that. No, you needed him because, A, you didn't know what Nick Bosa was going to be. I
Very
don't care
true.
What anybody says. You didn't know.
No one did.
And DeForest Buckner by himself was too easy to neutralize.
We saw what that looked like.
Yeah. So I think by definition he's been that.
What about you, Matt?
Because both of those guys have been, to me, in Buckner's case, just as good. In Bosa's case, an eye-opener.
As good as we ever could have possibly expected for Bosa. I agree with Ray that it was Bosa insurance
mm-hmm.
that you needed to have. I also wouldn't write it off just yet. Because it's one thing to go from a bad defense to a good defense, or even a bad defense to a great defensive line. But to go from a bad defense to arguably the best defense in the league on the strength of the defensive line, that takes more than one or two small additions
Agreed.
Or one great draft pick. It takes multiple additions, and I don't know how you separate Dee Ford from the whole that is the strongest and most important part of this football team, which brings us to our 5 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. A radio.com sports station.
888-957-9570 is the phone number if you want to weigh in on our Niner conversation. Matt Kolsky, Ray Ratto, and Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky taking you up to 6 o'clock. And let's go to Jason on the Bay Bridge, although by now he may no longer be there. What's up, Jason?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And I am still on the bridge. Traffic is ridiculous today.
Oh, great. It's not what I wanted to hear. Go ahead.
Good luck.
Are you at the S curve?
I just wanted to weigh in on some of the Niner conversation with them playing Arizona on Sunday. As a fan, I don't feel too worried because I feel like we still have a lot of pieces that can take on that team, especially when at home. I think you play it safe with Kittle and Sanders, let them rest up and let them get healthy for a potential matchup or a for sure matchup against Green Bay. And then when we go on the road against New Orleans and Baltimore, I think we can rely on the run game and rely on our defense against Arizona or this week. And one thing I'd like to see from Jimmy G is utilize, instead of utilizing, just forcing it into the middle, I would like to see him use the check down option a little bit more. I feel like he could have done that a little bit more against Seattle as well.
That's an interesting point, Jason.
I think the reason the check down wasn't there, and you saw this on a couple different plays, Tevin Coleman had to stay in the block.
Yep.
I mean, there was three or four specific plays where he blew up a blitzer.
And I think that all plays into the absence of Kittle and the need to help out two tackles who were a bit rusty. They, as good as a lot of things have gone for the Niners this year, they had a handful of things working against them in that Seattle game beyond the Seattle Seahawks, and they might have been enough without help.
And that just goes to the fact that I say this all the time, too much derision. Everything is interconnected. Nothing is separate. And one failure creates another one. And what you're trying to do in a football game is minimize those failures. Or when they happen, minimize the damage of that failure. And it's everything shoots from that. It's not really about what guy wins what battle. It's how many times you can do what you're supposed to do and how many times you don't.
As a team. How many times can you execute what you're supposed to execute as a team, and how many times does someone from the other team disrupt it in some way? And the question, I think, for Sunday, really, especially if you look at it from Ray's perspective, which is this is all interconnected, and I can't tell you exactly what the impact of Kittle or Sanders or both not being there is. I know it's not good, but I can't precisely tell you what it is. The question is, how important is this game? If you're a Niner fan and they lose to the Cardinals on Sunday, are you kind of in panic mode?
I am. Hell yeah. You can't look at. And the texter's putting this out there right there, and I agree with this. If they finish the season 9-7 or 10-6, that's a big disappointment. You're 9-7. You're not making the playoffs. Can we all agree?
9-7 is definitely a disappointment at this point.
But it's not making the playoffs, right?
Probably not.
It's how they lose. I mean, if you're operating on the most dire circumstances theory where you have nobody to throw to.
Okay.
And they go to overtime, lose 43-40 on a Zane Gonzalez 51-yard field goal.
Now
then
you're just flexing.
Go, all right, stuff just happened again. Now, all right, strap up. It's starting to get fun. But if they lose 27-10, then yeah, you've got some gnawing to do on your fingernails. It really depends on how it happens.
I agree with that. The context of how Jimmy looks too, the decision making from Jimmy. He cannot continue to make these underneath mistakes as far as just reading defenses. Like, look, there were plenty of drops. It's well documented. He also had a couple of linebackers from Seattle drop balls, and it's every week, man.
Yep.
It's killing me. And then protect the ball in the pocket. He's got to do a better job of that.
Catch.
Let's go to Javier in Vacaville. What's up, Javier?
How you guys doing?
Okay, good.
Great.
So, you know, granted, playing 4 years of college football, I didn't play at, you know, in Division One, but, you know, coach now and played slot receiver 4 years and returned punts and kicks. And I told everybody that, you know, gave me the opportunity to speak when I called in the summer and spring and even, you know, late into the fall that any capable defensive coordinator with competency is going to realize when you play nine in the box with unproven wide receivers that have not shown any ability to stretch the field vertically and your number one target is 5'10", 188 pounds, Emmanuel Sanders. And at any given time, Emmanuel, whether he's playing a physical team like Seattle, Baltimore, whoever it may be, they're going to put that wood on him like they did on Monday. And they hit him, and he's hurt. So when you have a Kendrick Bourne and a Dante Pettis, a bunch of not even undersized, but slim, slender receivers who don't like that action underneath running anything that's shallow or anything between hash to hash, this is what you get because not only they're not proven receivers, they haven't been put in a position to say, make that play on 3rd and 8 when I need you to. And when Kendrick Bourne has opportunity, he dropped the ball. When Dante Pettis ran that comeback route, he dropped the football. And it's not a lack of their talent. It's that they're not there yet, not only mentally, but physically they're not there yet. And when San Francisco's talking about we're going to make a playoff push, but you got receivers on the trade deadline that, like, even, for example, Josh Gordon wasn't even a trade asset. He was available via free agency. And you're going to sit there and
but
say,
they couldn't get him.
Have a chance to get him. They could have got him.
No, it was a claim, and Seattle had a lower claim, and they could claim it. The Niners had no opportunity to get him because he didn't fall on their lap.
Correct.
You get what I'm saying, the way the claim set up.
I would just point out, Emmanuel Sanders has been better than Josh Gordon every year since like 2014. So Emmanuel Sanders has looked like a perfectly good. That the one place I disagree with the caller is Emmanuel Sanders has looked like an answer to this. Where he's right is when you lose Emmanuel Sanders and you're looking at Bourne and Goodwin and Pettis and all due respect to Deebo Samuel, who I have high hopes for and think will be good, he's not quite ready.
Well, he is right in a lot of senses that they have nobody who can beat man-to-man coverage outside of Emmanuel and Deebo from time to time. And physically, they have no diversity in body types. That's why Jalen Hurd injury is just such a massive injury. Yep. He's the one dude who's 6'3 with radius frame, wide catching.
Sanders stands out from the other guys because he's proven and he can do the job.
And he's tough as nails.
But physically, he doesn't stand out from the other guys.
I agree.
And that, I think, is a problem that's worth paying some attention to. Unfortunately, I don't know that they had any real opportunity to solve that problem in this year's trade market. And if Emmanuel Sanders is cheaper than Mohamed Sanu, Sanu isn't such a big, strong option that...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.